What is the heart behind vertical? Because you may have heard this before. Anytime a church gets planted in North Georgia, we did not need another church, right? I'm sure you've never heard that phrase before. Well, in North Georgia, the last statistics we had just a couple years ago, this was like during COVID, so it's probably increased, over 50% of Union County, and we're looking at Towns County too, we're trying to get the data there, over 50% of the county is unchurched. Over 50%. And so we actually believe maybe there is a couple people left to hear the good news in Union County. And so we are going to plant, but we're not going to try to be like every other church out there, because we actually believe there are a lot of great other churches here in North Georgia. We're not planting because other churches are doing a bad job. We're planting because other churches are doing a good job, and there's still more people to reach. And that's our mentality. So we're going to share our heart here at Vertical Church, and that helps us all get on the same page. And so in order to do that here at Vertical, we've got to look at the scripture, because that's where we get things from. Matthew 14, verse 13. If you want to turn there, you can, or you can open up the Bible app on your phone, or you can trust that we're going to put the words on the screen, which we are, because we believe the Word of God applies to our life. Matthew 14, verse 13 says, as soon as Jesus heard the news, and the news they're talking about is he's just heard the news of John the Baptist being killed. Just heard the news that John the Baptist has been killed. He left in a boat to a remote area to be alone, but the crowds heard where he was headed, and they followed on foot from many towns. Jesus saw this huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Jesus, even as the emotional news of losing John the Baptist, he sees this huge crowd of people who followed on foot to try to get to where he's going. They were hungry. They were looking for something. They were looking for something different than what the world offers. And they come out in a huge crowd. And Jesus is not frustrated with them. He's not upset with them. He has compassion on them. And he starts to heal their sick. Before their very eyes, people are seeing the miracle of what Jesus can do. Seeing miracles happen before their eyes. And so many times at church, I think, we don't ever admit it. We may not say it. But sometimes when a lot of people start coming in that maybe don't know how this church acts or the way we look or the way we talk, people get frustrated. Jesus was not frustrated with a large crowd coming to see him because he knew he could heal their sick. He knew he could work in their life. Jesus was not frustrated with people wanting to come to him. At church, one of the things that we're not frustrated if people want to come meet with Jesus. We're not frustrated if people want to come in. Jesus has this compassion. And look at this in verse 15. That evening, the disciples, they came to him and they said, this is a remote place. It's a remote place. So it speaks to how much of travel, how long these people went to see Jesus. It's a remote place. And it's already getting late. So you now see how long he's been healing their sick. It's been going on for a long time. It's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves. But Jesus said, that isn't necessary. You feed them. That isn't necessary. You feed them. But we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. How many times when God speaks to us, do we say but and try to explain things to Jesus like he didn't know? How many times does Jesus say something that's going to stretch our faith and we say, but Jesus, you don't have all the details? How many times does Jesus ask us to step out and do something that's uncomfortable? Oh, but Jesus, this is what I am uncomfortable with. Jesus asks us to do a lot of things, and a lot of times we got a lot of big buts, got a lot of excuses. Jesus looks at them, and they wouldn't say this, right? You and I would not say this. But what they're trying to tell Jesus is they say, Jesus, we've only got 5 loaves of 2 fish, and that's not even enough for us. It's not enough for us. How can we give it to other people? I mean, if you think about it, if you and I, and we got 13 people together, and we got 5 loaves of bread from Longhorns and 2 fish, I don't know about you, but I'm like, praise God, that's my meal. What's yours? That's what the disciples are saying in this moment. Jesus, How are you looking at everybody else? We don't have enough for ourselves. This right here speaks to the heart of this house. We believe that when you give everything you have to God, there's more. When you give everything you have to God, there's more. But when you only look at yourself, there's always going to be lack. When you look at just yourself, there's always going to be lack. When we trust in humanity and our strengths and our talents, we will always lack. But if we say, God, whatever I have, I just give it to you. Like if you're asking something of me, if you're calling us to something, like we always believe there's more, so I give it to you. That's going to be the heart of this house, is we're not going to look to ourselves, because if we look to ourselves as humans, we will always see lack. But we have a belief, if you give everything to God, he has more. He has more. Look at this in verse 18. Bring them here, he said. Then he told the people to sit down on the grass. And Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and he looked up towards heaven and he blessed them. Then breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave the bread to the disciples, who distributed it to all the people. They all ate as much as they wanted, and afterward the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. About 5,000 men were fed in that day, in addition to all the women and children. 5,000 men plus their wives, plus their kids, all of these people were fed when they had 5 loaves and 2 fish. The disciples weren't wrong. In human strength, it wasn't enough. But as a church, we shouldn't be trying to live in human strength. As a church, we shouldn't be looking to live in human talents or human gifts. Like, as a church, we should always be going, God, like, I believe you have more if I'll just give it all back to you. Like, there's always going to be a lack if we're trying to hold things on to for ourselves. But God has more if we'll give it all back to him. Each disciple in this moment has to carry around a basket. Did you catch that? There's 12 baskets. Jesus has each disciple take a basket around to these thousands of people, and he makes the disciples watch as people put leftovers back in the basket. Can you imagine being the disciple who said, Jesus, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus says, okay, if that's all we have, then I'm going to bless it, and I'm going to have you go around and collect the leftovers. As a church, see, the human tendency we have as humans is we eventually, if God gives us some things and we grow some things and we see some things, the human tendency is always eventually to preserve and protect. That's our human nature, is to preserve and protect. But God's nature is to produce, not to preserve or protect. What eventually begins to kill churches is God brings growth. And then we get buildings. And then maybe our finances grow as a church. And God starts to do anything. And eventually, somewhere along the lines, the temptation comes in. We'll never say it this way. This is enough. This is enough. We've reached the place where we have to preserve or protect what God has given us. Amen. I mean, I'm super grateful and thankful for what God has done here. Like, if you're new to this church, I mean, years ago, I'm not getting into the whole story. Years ago, in the human, this church should have closed its doors. That's where we were at a couple years ago. But we kept just trying to give everything we have to God, and now years later, we have our own building in Hiwassee. We have our own building here in Blairsville. Why? Because when you give what you have to God, there's more. Amen. We're not going to sit around and go, man, we need the strengths or talents of humans to really get through this. Just give everything you have to the Lord and see what he does, because he has more. I mean, in Hiwassee, years ago, we were down like 10 people at a movie theater in Young Harris, Georgia. Most people, according to the standards, this is not going well. Every consultant we brought in told us, in human standards and wisdom, the right thing, close the doors. They would tell us right now, close the doors. Prayed about it, and I just felt like God was saying, do not do that. Believe. Now, a couple years later, Hiwassee has their own location. They got in their location before we did here in Blairsville. They have their own location, growing, expanding. God's moving. Because we're not going to look at human standards here. We're going to believe, God, whatever we have, even if it seems like it's 5 loaves and 2 fish, we'll give it to you because we believe there is more. And at this church, if we believe there's more, we're not going to try to live off last year. Like, God did amazing things that stirred our faith. We saw moves of God last year, but we're not trying to preserve what happened last year. We're going to do everything God, what he poured out last year, and give it back to him because we believe there's more for this year. Amen. We're not going to be here as a church to protect or preserve what God did last year. We're going to say, God, there's more. So we give it all to you. We give it all to you. It's yours. This building, those buildings, the people, the fine, it's all yours, God. Do whatever you want with it because we believe there's more. We're not going to try to preserve it. But what happens, the temptation for humans, is we try to just hold on to what we have because we at least want something. Faith requires you to give everything. You don't get to hold on in faith. See, when we have a mindset to protect or preserve, it's only prolonging decay. When you have the mindset to just protect or preserve, all you're really doing is prolonging decay. Like in history, they discovered salt, which, can I get an amen, makes things taste better? Amen. It was a powerful discovery. And in salt, what they also discovered is if you put it on food, they didn't have refrigerators, but it would preserve things a lot longer. It would preserve things a lot longer, so they could have food last longer. So they started putting salt on everything, and it tasted better, it lasted longer. But here's the thing, you can add salt to it all day long, all it does is prolong decay. Eventually, it's going to go bad. That's what happens to churches when they start to preserve or protect. You can prolong decay, but if you're not giving back to God what's his, it's not going to produce new things. Because you're holding on to what he had. If you go read in the Old Testament, God teaches this principle to the Israelites early on. They're out in the wilderness and they have a need. They need more from God. And he says, I'll provide manna for you every day. Every day. But he says this one thing. You can only collect enough for today. He says, don't go collecting for tomorrow. Don't go collecting. I'll provide. You can only collect for enough today. And what happens is some people, they don't listen. I don't know if you know this about other people, not you guys and me, other people. What happens is some of them start collecting for the next day, and what happens? They start seeing maggots in it. It starts going bad. It starts decaying, and what they're realizing is, I was trying to take something from yesterday because I didn't believe God could do it today. And man, that kills churches. And we try to live off what God used to do, believing he can't do more. It's not a lack of faith thing. It's a faith thing to go, God, I've seen what you have done, and I'm grateful, and I'm thankful for it, so I give it all back to you. It's yours. You brought it about in the first place. And our heart's not to preserve or protect what God has done. It's to give it all back to God and say, God, you can do more. There's more for people in North Georgia and beyond than what we've just seen. Do you hear it? There's more for God to do in North Georgia than just what we have seen. It's not to diminish what God has done. It's built our faith that he can do more. If we'll give it to him and not try to hold it to ourselves. Look at this. 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6. Verse 17. You can write it down. It's going to be later in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John starts the New Testament. If you're trying to turn there in your Bible, just keep going. 1 Timothy 6. If you hit 2 Timothy, you're very close. It's a good warning sign. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17 says, teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. By doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future so they may be experience true life. Paul's trying to teach in this moment, churches, don't try to protect or preserve what you have. Don't be trying to hold on to it. Be ready to share. He's talking about money here, but I think the principle applies to everything. Are we generous when it comes to love as a church? Like, think about the example Jesus gives with the loaves and fish. Man, Jesus had more than enough. Here at the Heart of the House for Vertical, we believe God has more than enough love for other people. Amen. We don't have to try to hold it into ourselves because we believe, man, if you're coming in the doors, great news. I believe God's got more. He's got more love, more grace, more mercy, more ability to change people's lives. We don't have to try to hold that into ourselves. We would never say it that way as American churches or Christians, and we would never do it here. It's from the other churches I've been at. But eventually, we start getting comfortable, and we don't really have space for new people. Because new people, maybe they come in, and they don't dress the way people at church dress. And you're like, well, Pastor, you're in a sweatshirt and jeans. Come on now. Has it ever occurred to you that maybe that's intentional? Like, maybe I'm in jeans and a sweatshirt intentionally. Because I don't want people to come in here, the people we're trying to reach out of the church, to come in and be uncomfortable by what I'm wearing. I don't want what I wear to be a hindrance to someone encountering that God has love and grace and mercy that can radically change their life. I don't want people coming in uncomfortable. That's not what it's supposed to be. Now, church is not to make people comfortable, right? I mean, when you praise and worship the Lord unashamedly, when you teach the Word of God unashamedly, you teach it in its full context, there's going to be some discomfort in the room. That's going to happen. We're not going to shy away from that because that's what happens to change our life. There's got to be some discomfort for life change to happen. But what I don't want is the discomfort to be man-made. I don't want man-made discomfort. I want the living God to move in our life, and that's what starts to make us, ooh, I sense there's some things in my life that need to change. Yeah, praise God. It's true for all of us. He says you should be ready to share with others. Do people come in and experience we've got leftovers? They get to come to a church that we believe God has so much to give, yet come on and experience it. We got more than enough. We got more than enough love and grace to come in. Come on in and experience. See, we can't be generous in things we're trying to preserve. We can't be generous in things we're trying to preserve as a church. But if we're giving everything back to God all the time, we don't have anything to try to protect or preserve. Give it all to God, and He'll give more. We've got more love, more grace, more mercy to see God do things because we're not trying to protect or preserve. What about in our marriages, our relationships? Does God have more? Or are you trying to protect or preserve something that used to be? Or do you believe God has more in your relationships? See, if you'll give your relationships to God, give Him all of your relationships, and you'll do things God's way, there's more. Like if you ever come and meet with me, and maybe I know some people won't, but if you ever come meet with me, I'm always going to believe God has more for your relationship. Amen. Always. I believe that's who God is. That's His character. Now, we may have to do some things to align with the ways of God. God just doesn't freely pour out everything just for free, just because we've got to come and align with His ways, maybe turn from our own ways, but God has more. One of the things that I really wrestle with as a pastor is a lot of times people seem to struggle with the idea that we don't have just believers in mind when it's church. Like if I'm honest with you, that's one of the things that can confuse people about Vertical is we also have non-believers in mind when it comes to Sunday. You may have come here today and you're not a Christian. I'm glad you're here. We're going to openly worship the Lord. We're going to openly teach through Scripture. But I'm glad you're here. Like, it's not just for the comfort of believers. It's the presence of God is going to move today. Even if you don't know Jesus, I believe today's that could be that day. Because the presence of God is going to move here. And we would love for you to experience that. It changed my life. It changed some lives here in this room. We would love for you to experience that. But it's hard for people to come and experience the presence of God, whether you've been a Christian for 40 years or you're not a Christian yet, when people don't really want you there. One of the hills that I die on as a pastor, and there's very few hills I die on, like, because if you die on too many hills, then you actually die. But one of the ones I will die on as a pastor is young families in church. Yes. And I know I take a lot of flack for that because people seem to be mystified or confused. Like, Pastor, do you ever understand, like, that kid's crying or he's being, you know, rowdy in church? I'm like, that's what kids do. You know, that's what happens. When I was a baby, my parents had to move from my dad's job. And they moved to a place where they knew nobody. They didn't have a church. They didn't have friends. They had nothing. And where they moved into, there was a church right across the street. I said, fair enough. That's an easy place to go visit, right? I walk across the street to go to the church, and they walk in. They realize immediately this is a smaller church. And then they quickly realize we're the only people our age here. Everybody else is older than us. They sit down. They stay for church. And everybody's been nice, and it's been greeted them. They've been welcomed. As they're going through church, baby Phil starts to cry. Can you imagine the horror you feel as a new guest? You've come to church because you want to be part of a community. You want to encounter the presence of God. And you come there, and as the new guest, and your child starts to cry. How uncomfortable you must feel. How awkward you must feel. And then the horror of you're the only young people there. You're the only baby there. Everybody knows it's you. And this woman starts walking toward my parents. And you can imagine the dread they have. And this lady walks up to my parents. And she says, you let that baby cry. Because it's been a long time in this church since we've heard a baby cry. You see, she got it. She gets it. Some of the things that we feel annoyed by, are bothered by, some other church would feel blessed by. Sometimes as churches, the things that annoy us or bother us are things other churches would find a blessing. And we're a multi-generational church here. And I know you say that because if you're in a certain generation, whether you're young or middle-aged or, you know, getting toward retirement or things, whatever age group, every age group feels like we're not doing enough for them. And I'm like, that's because we're a multi-generational church. You're like, yeah, this is a church for the younger people. I'm going to let you in on a secret. Can y'all keep a secret? The younger people in this church have a few complaints as well. How does he know? Where do you think the complaints go? They eventually get back to me. Every age group feels like maybe we could do a little bit differently here. Our heart's not to appease a certain generation. Our heart of the house is God has more. He has more for the older generations. He has more for the middle generations. He has more for the younger generations. God has more. We're not here for just one generation. We're here for anyone of any age group to come experience that God has more. And it may mean we can't do every single thing every generation wants because we're trying to reach people of every generation. And it may mean something in our DNA as a church, there's got to be something that's a little sacrificial. And that's okay for people in churches to have nowadays. To have a little sacrificial in our DNA. I love that woman told my parents, you let that baby cry. And parents, I want to tell you, not only have we planned and prayed that you would be here, like we set up for you. We understand kids may be rowdy or raucous. Like in Hiawassee, like if you go into the back room, we've got rockers and chairs in Hiawassee and a TV screen. And unfortunately, the TV screen, I may look closer than in person. I am sorry about that. But it's set up for you. If your kid gets rowdy, that's okay. We're glad you're here. We've got a spot for you to go to. I mean, here in Blairsville, we've got, you know, rockers and chairs and things. Heaven forbid. It was my wife that got up earlier because my baby daughter's like, I've heard enough of dad. She said, Mom, set me free. But parents, we've got a setup for you because we're glad you're here. And your kids may get rowdy, and that's okay. We've got a setup for you. I want to ask, are we the kind of church we're rather being annoyed, or we got to preserve or protect something? Like, do we got any people like that lady was with my parents, who could go to a parent who maybe is horrified or feels like everybody's got to be watching me, and actually all we have for her is just love, and say, we're so glad you're here. We believe God has more today. Amen. Can I help you? Can I serve you? We're family here. Is that our mentality as a church? Because that's supposed to be our heart here at Vertical, is we believe God has more. He has more. Matthew 5, 6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. You know what it doesn't say? Blessed are those who've come to church long enough. It doesn't say, blessed are those who have been a Christian long enough. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. That sounds like a God who has more. God has more. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. It also could be translated, blessed are those who desire earnestly. Desire earnestly. You know what? So many times in our culture nowadays, churches are products. And people go around and say, does this product appease me? I'm going to be honest with you. Have you ever wondered if Vertical is actually looking for certain types of people as well? I don't think a lot of people think that way, that maybe churches are looking for certain types of people as well. We're not a product where we're just like, I hope enough people come in. We just want as many people as we can. I can tell you something, the pastor, that's not my heart. That's not our leadership's heart. That's not this church's heart, is just to have more people. I can tell you right now, the people we're looking for at Vertical, are you hungry? Are you hungry? We're not a church for you to come in and get your spiritual coma and then we put you into a nap. Praise God, like that post-Thanksgiving feel. That's not what we're trying to be here. We're looking for, are you hungry? You followed Jesus for 40 years. You're still hungry. I want God to pour out more spirit. John the Baptist, who we talked about at the beginning of this, said something so iconic before he was killed for the faith. John the Baptist said, I must decrease and he must increase. I must decrease as a human, and I pray the Lord increases in my life. I'm hungry for more of God and less of me. That is what we're looking for here as a church. And that may mean you followed Jesus for 40 years. Are you still hungry? You may follow Jesus for 10 years. Are you still hungry? You may have come in and the world has written you off because you were divorced. Or you came in, you were an addict. Or maybe you've messed up in your past. And the world wants to write you off. But the good news is here at this church is we say, but are you hungry? Because if you're hungry, I know what your past says. But God is a God of grace and love and mercy. If you'll turn from your ways and you come follow him and you're hungry, the Bible says you'll be filled. You'll be filled. So I want to ask, church, are you still hungry? Are you still hungry? Because that's the heart of this church, is we may have sinned, we may have fallen short in our past, but God, if we'll turn from ways, is faithful and just to forgive us and fill us when we seek righteousness, when we seek to be right before God. And we'll be willing to leave the things of this world behind. If we're hungry for that desire, earnestly for that, he will fill us because he has more. That's our heart as this church. And that means sometimes that people who don't dress like us or act like us or talk like us, they may be discovering that this world leaves them feeling empty. That everything they sought in this world has not sustained or filled. And they're searching. They're hungry. And it may mean people come to this church who don't act like Christians yet because they don't know the Lord, but they're hungry. Can we be a church that says, oh, you found the right place. You found the right place. Because we believe the presence of God is going to move today because we've prayed for that. We fasted for that. We've prepared for that. The presence of God is going to move today. And those who are hungry, they're going to be filled. So I just want to ask that you bow your heads and you close your eyes. And I want to ask, are you somebody who's tried to preserve and protect? Say, maybe God's given us enough and we just got to hold on to it. I got to hold on to what God's already done. Or is God speaking into your heart that maybe maybe you got to let some things go. Because when you let the things go, God says, I've got more. I've got more to pour out, but we have to decrease so that he can increase. And if you're holding on to anything, and you know it's preventing God from pouring out more, I just encourage you to let it go. Because we're not a church of perfect people. We're not a church of people who need to increase. We're people who need to decrease. You're not alone here. We all need to decrease for the Lord to increase in our lives in this church. And maybe you come here today and you are hungry. I've got good news. You can give your life to Jesus right now. You don't have to wait. You don't have to try to fix your life. You don't have to try to become a better person. You can say, God, I'm not a better person. I've sinned. And God, I'm sorry. Please come be the Lord of my life. That hunger can turn into a relationship with the Lord. Maybe you come in and you realize it's become dry and stale. It's okay to ask God for a new hunger, a new desire for him. Because those who are hungry and thirst for righteousness, they will be filled. So Lord, I ask that you pour out your spirit on the hungry. I pray that you pour out your spirit on the thirsty. I pray that we won't run from conviction, God. That we'll confess, Lord, I'm sorry that I've fallen short. I'm sorry that I've sinned, but God, I pray that I'll decrease and you will increase. I pray that we'll be a church who, man, there's leftovers for people to even enjoy here with love and grace and mercy, because there's only one person we can put our hope in, and it's Jesus. So Lord, come and move in our midst. Come draw us closer to you. We're just going to close out in this time seeking the Lord together.